Blog Talk Radio.
All that we see, devils and demons, this is Nurse Hatchet. You are listening to the Wolf Pack.
You are listening to An Awakening in Horror with host William Pattison on the Wolf Pack Presents. Welcome you to this edition of An Awakening of Horror. It is August 1st, 1950. Well, 2015. I'd say 1915. Anyways, and it is the first day of Writers in Horror Month. So, yay! Writers in Horror Month. Anyways, I want to welcome all of the people in our chat room. especially a dear friend of mine who is in there, Mr. Rich Giordano, who does the AZ UFO show here on Blog Talk Radio. Those of you who are in the audience, please check him out tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Pacific, and he is going to be doing his show. You can also find his show on spacedoutradio.com. Also, I'd like to say hello to Anthea and Spin Dave in there, and a whole shitload of guests. So, anyways, yeah, we are going to have a smashing show tonight because I have the king of independent, low-budget anthologies, Mr. Scarlet Fry, on the show. How are you doing, Mr. Scarlet Fry?
Hey, man, doing good.
Alrighty, you know, what you drinking tonight? I'm having me some nice iced Folgers.
All right. I just ate some quail that looked like run over frogs.
Oh, lovely.
I don't know what the hell it was. First time ever had it.
All righty. I'm going to give me a little sippy sippy here. Sippy sippy, people. All righty. So, anyways, yeah, you know, Writers in Horror Month, you know. Anyways, yes, yeah, Scarlett, you're a writer in horror. I mean, you've written a shitload of screenplays, and you know how it is with writers in horror. Yeah, they do need some recognition in that. And so, happy Writers in Horror Month there, Mr. Scarlett Fry.
Well, thank you. Absolutely. I agree with you, too.
Yeah.
I get accused of... you know, putting out garbage, and a lot of times people don't realize that a lot of thought goes into the writing. I did a Dahmer short, and I, you know, had to research Jeffrey Dahmer for 5 days before I wrote the short, you know, because I wanted it to be accurate.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of thought does go into writing, and, you know, I mean, well, you do know that I'm a lecturer on writing horror, both screenplays and that, so.
That's great. I know about the Friday the 13th books, of course, in your old days.
Yeah.
And I know that you've done some newer stuff that I heard about, but I haven't come across any of it. I just learned about it the other day, and I was listening to one of your shows about the horror clicks and stuff. And it was fun listening to that because you were getting some of your anger out with some people.
Well, yeah, you know, once in a while you have to do that. I mean, you know, I mean, when you're dealing with that, and I mean, you know, seriously, I mean, you know, when you're dealing with the horror socials and stuff, I mean, they did a lot of damage to horror the last 10 years.
I agree. You know, they'll do it to a person, they'll do it to horror in general. They tend to, in my opinion, take a whole genre and misrepresent it and try to, you know, almost ban it from being, you know, and it's sad.
Oh, very much.
Because I know
so.
When I was younger and I saw a bad review, I mean, you know, I used to love Alice Cooper and Herschel Gordon Lewis and guys like that, and every time I picked up a magazine, nobody had any good things to say about them, you know, but I didn't care, and you know, because they were entertaining, and to me that's the stuff that inspired me. And you know, I see people, a lot of these critics that aren't even really critics, or just people that put up a blog and decide to be a critic, and you know, they, if your movie doesn't isn't up to par with you know, a $50 billion budget film, then all of a sudden it's a piece of shit.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and then of course, you know, you've got the horror social filmmakers who, you know, what they do is they're all buzz and they're no substance, and what
right.
they'll do, say like a filmmaker like you, you'll be trying to do an Indiegogo, or you'll actually find yourself an investor, and they'll go and they'll mess up your Indiegogo or steal your investor from you and, you know, get them to do their stuff. And, you know, and usually their stuff turns out to be a total piece of crap. I mean, it's usually, you know, just some overbloated piece of shit. And, you know, there's been a lot of very good, you know, I've seen a lot of people who've had some really good horror projects, and they've ended up having to drop them because of these people. And
yeah.
you know, I mean, these people, you know, all they care about is, oh yeah, I'm gonna go to this horror, you know, this film festival, and you know, my drinking buddies are gonna give me an award.
Right.
You know, I mean, the thing is, the real filmmakers like you and me and Derek Young, we don't get awards. We put our hearts and souls into our films. We use whatever we can. We try to build a movie out of nothing, and
mm-hmm.
we don't get appreciated.
Absolutely.
But you know, I mean, from what I've heard about your latest project, Scream Machine, you've actually managed, by the grace of God, actually, I think it's also because there's been a major restructuring in horror lately, and a lot of better filmmakers have been able to get financing now. Because the horror socials are starting to fall away. You know, people are starting to see that all they are is talk and no real stuff. They can't bring the good horror. But yeah, you actually managed to get a little bit of a budget to this, and you were actually able to actually do some set project.
Yeah, we did some cool stuff. I mean, we made a drive-in. We made a septic tank. We did some underwater stuff. And it was, you know, just really being creative with what you have. And like you said, building something out of nothing. You know, we made a drive-in in someone's backyard, and when you watch the movie, you can't tell it's not a real drive-in.
Well, that's cool. I mean, you know, I mean, that's filmmaking. I mean, that really is. I mean, you know, yeah, you can have, you know, the backing of, you know, someone like Vince McMahon, but the thing is, it's not going to make your film great. It's not going to, you know, I mean, if anything, it's probably going to be Vince McMahon that's going to be dictating to you how to make your film. And Vince McMahon doesn't know shit about filmmaking. So,
well, and how many times have you seen a high-budget film that you can't even get through, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I had a certain distributor tell me, well, I don't think your movie can, you know, I don't really see it selling and yada, yada, yada. And, you know, I went and watched some of the stuff they put out, and it was garbage. I mean, I couldn't even get, it was torture getting through some of the shit they put out. And,
yeah.
you know, I got ended up going with Worldwide again, and we actually don't come out until September. In June, just by pre-order, we made it up to 84 in the top 100 on Amazon.
Not nice.
So pretty good for pre-ordering, you know.
Yeah.
Getting in the top 100, you don't see that a lot. So that was cool. And, you know, these distributors, they got their little group of guys that no matter what they make, they're gonna put them out. And, you know, You Got Me comes along with a movie that's, you know, better than half of their movies, not to brag. And, you know, they give me their spiel, you know. Oh, well, we don't think it'll sell. And you know, it's just bullshit, you know.
Oh, I know.
You know, but then
I
if I'm a certain filmmaker who's trendy and cool that everyone loves, I can do the exact same thing that I'm doing, and everyone's going to say it's the greatest thing in the world.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and the thing is, I mean, you know, it's like, okay, whoopee-dee, you know. Yeah, I've got a crew that I've got like 20 people on my crew, and I've got lighting effects and stuff. But the thing is that your film doesn't scare anybody. You have no idea of what horror is. You have no idea of characterization. You have no idea, you know, all you do is you sit there and you throw out the same crap. You do a cookie cutter slasher film with the same characters we've seen 100 times, and you just repackage it and throw it out there and expect the film fans to be like sheep and go, oh yeah, that's great.
Yeah. Well, and all, you know, it's hard to scare these days. Everyone's seen it all. I mean, I make movies that, you know, I like to call them horror comedies because, you know, with my budget and pretty much working out of pocket, I know I'm not going to scare somebody. You know? I'm not going to make the next Rosemary's Baby on my budget. So I go for the Herschel Gordon Lewis approach. You know, I want to gross people out and make them laugh.
Yeah. I want to
entertain people. I don't want to bore people because I'm trying to scare them and I can't.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Exactly. You're like Uncle Lloyd.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Lloyd made, you know, for those of you who are ignorant of this, the guy that we call Uncle Lloyd is Mr. Lloyd Kaufman, the CEO of Troma. And he does low budget, you know, films that are cult classics. I mean, you know, pretty much everything that he does is, you know, tongue-in-cheek and stuff. But, that, you know, when you're doing a low-budget film, that's what you need is you need a little tongue-in-cheek. You need a little humor. You need to actually build kind of like your own little world.
Right. You know, you look at Toxic Avenger, it's a fun, gross, you know, movie. And when it came out, nobody had seen anything like it. And, you know, word of mouth, it became a cult classic. It made millions of dollars back in the video era. And it's not something you put on and you get scared of, you know.
Yeah. And it's not one that you know it's not masterpiece theater.
No, not by any means.
No, it's, you know, the way that you would put it in the category of like those old 50s style monster films, where they like they use the tarantula and they use special camera effects to make it look big.
Yeah, and the spider that they made with the Volkswagen, I think it was Invasion of the Spiders, or what was it called? It was called the Giant Spider Invasion.
Oh my fucking God, I remember that one. That is hilarious.
Yeah, it's great.
You talk about Robot Monster, where you had Roman, where they used the gorilla suit and they just put like a fish tank or something on the head, and that was your alien monster and stuff.
Yeah.
And then they used it's the type of stuff that it's popcorn movies.
Right.
And the problem is that nowadays people think, oh yeah, I'm doing a horror film. It has to be serious. It has to be, be important.
Yeah, but you got to create atmosphere. If you want to scare someone, the first thing you got to do is you got to create that atmosphere, that scary atmosphere. And you don't have to show all the blood and guts. That's not what's scary. You got to. What's scary is what's upstairs, what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And when
yeah.
you leave something up to the imagination, I mean, look at the Blair Witch, scared the shit out of there. Everyone thought that was real. Biggest gimmick in the world, but it scared people.
Yeah. Yeah. And it opened the doors for the found footage films of now.
Right.
But, there's actually one scene that I talk about in my lectures that I call the ultimate horror scene.
Uh-huh.
And it's from an unusual source because people don't really, it's from Exorcist 3.
Oh, I love that movie.
Yeah. It's one scene where it's a continuous shot down a hallway.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, it's a nurse's station, and the nurse walks from one place to another, and, a cop security guard comes out and walks around. And all of a sudden, the camera starts moving in, and you see this nun with these hedge clippers.
Right.
And it comes out, and it every time I've seen that shot 100 times, and it always my muscles always clench.
Yeah.
Every time I see that.
That was a good movie. Good part two to part one.
And so. That is real horror. That is scaring people. That's getting into people's heads. That is like if that shot had been done for just a few seconds off, you wouldn't have had any action.
Right.
But that's incredible filmmaking.
Go ahead.
But yeah, I mean, even a low budget filmmaker could do that.
Exactly, and it's I've seen people try, and there's some good, scary low budget movies out there, few and far between, but. Nowadays it's just people are not leaving anything to the imagination, in my opinion,
Yeah,
they didn't have to explain Michael Myers. He was just a guy and he was scary and that was that. And then, you know, Rob Zombie put out that atrocity where he just destroyed the mystique of Michael Myers and made him completely not scary.
Pretty much.
You know, it's like, I'm the product of a white trash family. You know, okay.
And even that doesn't explain his invulnerability.
Right.
So, you know.
But, you know, I guess, you know, the cinematography is a big deal, you know, like you were saying. And, you know, the scary movies that I'm seeing now are all the movies coming out of, the, you know, Japan and places like that. I mean, they're on it.
Oh, yeah. They've learned. They've learned a lot from, you know, they've actually learned a lot from our, you know, like our 70s films and that. Because,
yeah.
You know, the Japanese, for some reason, they keep getting our older films. And, you know, I mean, you look at their fads, you know, they're still like in the 50s.
Well,
yeah,
it seems like when you go to the movie theater now, the only scary movies are the ghost stories.
Yeah.
You know, I think James Wan's a good, you know, scary, can put out a scary movie. Guys like
oh,
that.
Yeah.
You know, and then you got the slew of remakes, of course, but, you know, other than that, it's just fun horror. Not to say that there's a lot of good, fun horror out there, you know?
Yeah.
Call Girl of the Cthulhu. That's a good, fun movie. Not scary, but it's a good movie. Fun.
Yeah, I love Call of Cthulhu. I love that film. That is just incredibly
good. And that's a guy who makes good movies. You know?
Yeah.
Chris La Martina, I think his name is. You know, and there's a couple other guys out there that can, you know, that are putting out decent movies, but you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, what's funny is a lot of the ones that I'm seeing that are really benchmark movies were done on reasonable budgets. You know, it's not the big budget stuff that's really doing it, because, you know, with these movies, I mean, it's like James Wan, you know, with The Conjuring and that wasn't a huge budget. I mean, it's
right.
Bigger budget than what you're used to, but for when it comes to a horror movie, I mean, you know, a lot of them, like Ouija, probably had double the budget of The Conjuring.
Yeah, and that was just a shitty remake to me of Witchboard, which was a much better movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I love Witchboard, you know. But that's Kevin Tenney. Oh, and you heard they're finally putting Witchtrap up on DVD. I am so happy about that. I love Witchtrap. That was
is that his third?
No, that was his second film. It was the one after Witchboard.
Oh,
and it had
okay.
The same actor that played Malfador in it.
Right,
and it was
kind
of like his version of The Haunting.
I've seen it, and I just watched it on YouTube, I believe.
Yeah.
And then there's a third one that's almost impossible to find.
And it's a lot of them are, you know, and then he started doing the other Witchboard films, you know, like Witchboard 2 and Witchboard 3, which I didn't think really, were as good as the original Witchboard.
Right.
Of course, then he also did Pinocchio's Revenge, which, oh, God.
Well, you know, we did, I don't know, with, you know, we did a scene, a guy stuck in a septic tank. You know, and it had some scare elements to it and Scream Machine. And you know, we built this, you know, and filmed it in a 4-foot space where we built a tank and put a guy in it and filled it up with water. And we had a skeleton under there. And
favorite in Scream Machine was Septic Terror.
Yeah, we used a little GoPro and, you know, did some shots of the skeleton, and then the skeleton floats up and the guy's actually stuck in the septic tank, you know. But of course it was a short film, so we blew him up and had his body parts float up the toilet, and then it became funny.
That's spoiler alert, spoiler alert.
To show you don't need a lot of money to create really cool sets and
do
cool stuff, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Scream Machine is, you know, you've got like 5 stories on here. You've got Sledgehammer, Cannibal, Pen Pals, April Fool's Party, Septic Shock, and Deadly Indie Drive-In. You know, and I like Deadly Indie Drive-In as well. I mean, the one about the serial killer in the drive-in and that.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun to do because we built the drive-in. And then we actually used footage from one of my older films that's playing on the drive-in.
Yeah, I recall
we
that.
We reshot myself as I'm talking to the woman in the car to look like I did, you know, 10 years ago when we did the original film that you're watching on the drive-in. You can't really even tell that it's, you know, it all looks like the same movie, but we had to shoot me talking to her.
I loved the psychological thing on that. You know, that really gets into my thing that I'm into.
Yeah.
You know, because I love having things talking to the characters and stuff.
That was a lot of fun to do. And then how she winds up in the movie, you know, it was at a little supernatural element there, too. So.
Oh, yeah.
You know. And then, of course, there was, you know, we tried to do a little bit everything. The first one was your slasher revenge, you know, your classic slasher revenge that we didn't want to drag out into a whole movie. Of course, we could have easily done, you know. But we got to the point, and Dahmer was, you know, that's where I really sat down. I researched Jeffrey Dahmer and the stuff that he really did, and you know, everything in that movie is something that he did. So you kind of want to take a shower after you watch that one, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And
well,
then
I mean,
the next one is, you know, Weekend at Bernie's meets April Fool's Day. So that was fun, you know.
Yeah, I love the Pen Pal one, too. I mean, that was pretty good, the one with Dahmer, and that the guy was Dahmer thing, and he just, oh, man, that was good. Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, you have this wonderful wraparound story, which is the apocalypse, and the guys watching movies, you know, the head and the kind of horror host guy.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was, you know, we made it where, you know, Lloyd Kaufman introduced the movie, but we wanted to add something to that. So we had it to where that was a gift from Lloyd Kaufman before the apocalypse. You notice how later we used him in black and white. He was kind of a ghost. And it's basically supposed to be the last film on Earth, and that we're showing anybody who's left, anybody out there that can see the broadcast, that this is, you know, the last surviving film on Earth. So that's kind of what the wraparound was about. So we sort of added a little more of Lloyd into it.
Yeah, and that, you know, it was. I mean, it adds a little something to, you know, to this particular anthology of yours that you actually have Lloyd in there. Because, I mean, Lloyd doesn't do too many intros now. I mean, he's kind of, you know, given up on that.
Yeah, well, we were grateful for Derek and for that, you know, that was awesome. I mean, Derek really came through for us. We talked about it, and I'm kind of one of those guys that doesn't believe anything till I see it. And the next thing you know, Derek says, Lloyd's in your inbox, you know, in your Dropbox. And it was so funny because he, you know, we put the Lloyd outtakes as a special feature, but if you watch it, it was so hard to edit. Every time Lloyd talks, there's an edit. The microphone's in the other hand. So it goes from his right hand to his left hand to his right hand to his left hand.
Because
footage to put that together and make it work.
Yeah, because I remember Derek saying, oh, my God, you know, Scarlett's going to kill me because, for some reason, Lloyd kept making mistakes and keep thinking that it was a Derek Young film. And saying, oh, man, I love this Derek Young guy.
He would just go, fuck, shit, god damn it, junk food, horror, fuck fest, you know. Also, you know, this Scream Machine, done also by the makers of, shit, give me my glasses, you know, and it's just a lot of that, and
I love it.
We put that on as a special feature, so it's a lot of fun to watch.
Oh my God, yeah, I can imagine, because I've seen Lloyd doing intros. I mean, how he did an intro for Family Property.
He did,
and it was like he had to go through about 6 or 7 takes on it. And it was like, oh my fucking God. I mean, he was about as bad as I was with my cameo in Midnight Matinee Psycho. Because I had to do it like 7 times because I had this long monologue that I had to say, and people kept saying, oh yeah, you know, you could see William Patterson reading, and it's like, no, I didn't have 2 cards up. I had to remember all this.
Yeah.
And it was driving me nuts.
Yeah. When I write my own stuff, I can't even remember it. It's hard.
Yeah. Well, what's funny is that I wrote my cameo.
Right.
And I couldn't even remember it.
Yeah.
It was
you
like,
got to tell someone, feed me my lines. What do I say?
But the problem was, it was my sister sitting in front of County Center in San Mateo. And I said, what's my line? And she goes, I can't do it. I'm doing the camera. So I'm going, oh. But yeah, you know, it's fun doing these guerrilla horror films.
Oh yeah.
You know, I mean, it's quite literally like Ed Wood. Oh my God, here comes the cops. Run!
Yeah. We did that in our first movie. We shot in the Hollywood Cemetery, and we had a scene, and we were just finishing up, and I was filling the girl's mouth up with blood, and then I looked up, and the whole camera crew was running to the car because security was coming. I didn't even see the security guy. So I had to edit a bunch of tombstones and shit and end it that way, you know.
Oh, I know. It's hilarious when you have to do that. I mean, it was the same with me at County Center. I mean, we did it on a Saturday, and I'm sitting there, and all, you know, the last take that we did, it turned out almost perfect, except a sheriff's officer came out and was standing right behind me, and I didn't see him until he goes, "What are you doing?" Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, it's like almost an Abbott and Costello thing where I'm jumping at his voice.
Good times.
Oh, yeah. Good it's time. Like, you can't do that here. Okay, I'm leaving. Oh, man. But that's the way it is with, All right, we've only got a couple minutes left on the show here, Scarlett.
Well, thanks for having me on, and, you know, Scream Machine comes out September 22nd, and there's a trailer up on YouTube. You can watch it, the worldwide multimedia site, and... it's available for pre-order, and there's a lot of good reviews. If you do Google, there's a lot of good reviews, a few bad ones, but I think on the reviews we're about, 15 good ones and 5 bad ones.
Can't that. I mean, yeah, you're always going to get bad, always going to get bad reviews. I mean, you can have the greatest film in the world, but you'll get bad reviews once in a while
haters that it's like the old Alice Cooper thing where people would pay to in the 60s just to walk out on them, and you got that with me with writers that want to get my movie just so they can write a bad review, you know.
Scarlett, I want you to do one little thing for me.
Sure.
Just, I just want a little plug for the Wolfpack Podcast. Just say, this is Scarlett Fry, and you're on the Wolfpack Podcast.
This is Scarlett Fry, and you're on the Wolfpack Podcast.
Cool. And I'll cut that out, and I'll put it on there, and we'll, you'll hear your voice on a few episodes doing that. Alrighty. So anyways, as I said, happy writers and horror recognition there, Scarlett,
Oh, and you too, William, and I wish you all the best with all your writing endeavors.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? I'll send you an art copy of Psychotic State, the novel, once I'm done with the show tonight. I have another hour that I have to do for Writers of the Month. And then
okay.
I'll just send you an art copy, and you can read the book.
Oh, I will. And if I want to tune in, I just click this arrow here.
Yeah, you just click the arrow on the thing. It'll be a couple minutes before the show's actually loaded on there, but then you can actually listen to the show.
All right.
Alrighty. So anyways, people, I will be back in a little while with another Awakening of Horror. But for right now, this edition is closing, and I want to say thank you to my guest, Scarlett Fry, and say to all the Howleys out there, keep America strong, and watch horror films.
Watch horror movies. All right.